guess what, guys?
We're not doctors.
No, we are not.
If you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor.
That includes diets, exercise, medications, and surgery.
We love you guys.
And we want you to continue to be in our OSLP family forever.
So be careful and consult your doctors. Have you heard of ProCare, or just have you been living under a rock?
ProCare is the very first bariatric multivitamin to develop a one-a-day vitamin. That's right, you heard it correctly.
One a day.
And they also have delicious dark chocolate calciums that are available during the winter months.
That's right. So go to procarenow.com, get your calcium chews, get your multivitamin, and use OSLP for a discount.
Who else feels like portion control is the number one hurdle in a weight loss journey?
I know I do, but that is why we go to Portion Perfection to get all of our needs met, because they have cups, they have bowls, and they even have recipes for us. It's so nice.
They also have the kit and carry, which is perfect for on-the-go portion control. So click the link below and get yours today.
Are you located in the Florida area?
Well, we have the perfect office for you. Dr. Fridley and his wife, Macy, have created the perfect welcoming and safe place for your bariatric journey.
That's right. So click on the link below to start your weight loss journey now. And don't forget to tell them that the OSLP's girls sent you.
Welcome back, OSLP family. Yeah.
Welcome, welcome.
You are listening to our Sleeve Life podcast, and this is Kelly.
This is Mel.
And at this point, we are 3 days from the award show, right?
Four days
until the award show.
That's right. Two days from the live on Thursday. That's free.
Correct.
We're 3 days away from the wellness. We're 4 days away from the show.
Yes. And mixed in there, we have workout meetups happening.
Yep.
And so you need to go to our link in bio.
Yes.
And or they are on the website, jbyawards.com. Get your tickets for the show. Register for the live podcast, then sign up if you want to do gym meetups or the workout meetups, and then also sign up for the wellness morning stuff. So there's lots going on. If you are going to be attending the award show, we cannot wait to see you.
Yes.
Come up to us, come up to anybody. Everybody that's going to be there is going to be so welcoming and warm to you. This is not an influencer versus everyday people. This is, we are all one entity.
Yes.
We are all just a part of the bariatric community.
Right.
We all just want everybody to come and be themselves. Thus the name Just Be You Bariatric Award Show.
Say, for those, if you just are now figuring out what the Just Be You Award Show is, I'm just going to give you a little rundown. So basically we created a People's Choice Awards for the community, the bariatric community, anybody that's on a weight loss journey. So they got to vote in April. No, they got to pick your nominees in April. You got to vote in August. And now we get to actually tell everybody who has won. At this point, we probably know who has won.
Probably. We should know.
We should know because the awards have to be ordered.
Yes.
So we will be doing that. And we just want you guys to join us. So again, it's jbyawards.com. You want to enter in because and register because you get to be on the live stream. You get to engage with us. There is going to be a at-home
contest.
Award contest.
Yes. Yeah. So it's going to be best dressed at home.
Yes.
And that winner will receive a ticket to next year's show.
Correct.
Free of charge. And then also you get a free online styling.
No. That is Meg's. Situation.
Sorry, I misspoke.
Yes.
Ours is the free ticket.
The free ticket, and you get an award out from home.
Yes.
Yes.
And we will be also running a contest for the people that are there too.
Correct.
So best dressed in person, best dressed at home. Make sure that you are bringing your best foot forward.
That's right. Bring your A game.
Bring your A game with your outfits going on.
Okay.
And the Mel mentioned the live stream. So we all, for the people that cannot make it in person, because we realize not everybody can travel like we do. You have jobs, you have families. We get it. So we actually hired a live streaming company this year. Yes. There is going to be pink carpet interviews. It might be one of the people doing the interviews might be on the interview today.
I know. And they might be able to describe more of like the in-person stuff.
Yes. And then you will be able to watch the show. So you will still get to be a part of the show, even if you cannot be there in person.
Yeah,
so,
there might be even discounts for you at home.
Yes. So make sure that you go onto the website, also jbyawards.com, and register to get that link when it is ready for you.
Yes. And we want to thank all of our sponsors because yes. we really wouldn't be able to put this on in this celebration yes, without you guys.
For sure.
So we would definitely want to start off with ProCare. They're our number one sponsor.
Top sponsor this year of and course. Last year. That's you guys right. know they're the top sponsor of our podcast. Mm-hmm. We love them so much and they just want to continue to put on events like these so to support the community.
Yeah, they just want to make sure the community is felt that the support is there for them.
Correct.
Same thing with SABP, which is Surgical Associates of Bayonet Point, Dr. Fridley. They're out from Florida. They are a lovely couple. Macy. It's Macy. I just have been hanging out with Mercedes recently. I'm sorry, Macy.
Yes.
They're so great. And they are definitely going to be there in person, too.
Yes.
And you get to meet them and you can talk to them all about your stories and everything.
Yeah. And then we also want to thank Jamie, the sleeve dietitian. She also has the tribe membership. She was a sponsor. All of these people that we've just listed have been a sponsor last year and this year of this award show because they believe in it so much. The tribe membership program gives you 45 different support groups that you can be a part of in 1 month.
In 1 month. So that's more than one a day.
Yes. Guys. And there's so many things that you can find on the website to help support you through this journey. Also, we do want to point out that at this point, Jamie's book is live.
Yes, she has her
you
own
can
book.
Go and purchase it. It's called The Easy Way Out. And I have read it. It is absolutely incredible. I think that it needs to be in everybody's reading list if you are going through or have gone through this surgery because it explains everything so well. And I mean, that girl is detailed.
I know. So, I love her. She's yes. one of the best.
So we also want to thank Dive Bar.
Yeah,
Nutrition.
A new sponsor.
A new sponsor new of this sponsor. Year. We love Dr. Phil or Professor Phil.
Professor Phil.
And the products that he brings. They are a protein bar with caffeine. They do have some that have without no caffeine.
Correct.
But they are an amazing company that we have worked with since the beginning.
Yeah, a few years now.
And we are so honored that they decided to jump on as a sponsor this year. So thank you, Dive Bar.
Yeah, and there actually might be some engagement on the floor with Professor Phil at the show.
Yes. So make sure that you are
there.
Get
your tickets.
Yes.
Get your tickets.
We also want to thank Body Map. Mm-hmm. It is an incredible app that actually scans your body. And you can do this before you have surgery, even if you're going through another weight loss journey, not using surgery, it scans your body and then you can scan it each time that you've had weight loss and you can actually see where the differences are.
Yeah. What I like about it is it literally does a 3D of you.
Yes. And you have an avatar.
So like it pretty literally cool. will show you on your avatar the spots that you've actually shrink. So that yes. way when you're battling that scale. And then really the inches are moving. You just can look at your body map and see where it's like
exactly.
actually has done.
No more old school measuring with a measuring tape right? around you. Like, no, this is totally new, different. Love it. Right now it is only for Apple products.
Correct.
But they will also be at the show.
They
so
will
we
be
are
on the show.
Very excited. There might be some engagement there as well. So be prepared for that.
And we have Ashlyn.
We do have Ashlyn.
Yes, she is new. She's actually sponsoring the Wellness Morning because she is a therapist in the community.
Yes.
As you can tell, this is all about you guys and all the things that can help you.
Yes.
And she has a great website that she has launched because we all know how hard it is to find a bariatric therapist. So her goal is to get people in every state registered. Mm-hmm. So that way, when we go on to the website, we can be like, put our zip code in and it would literally find a bariatric therapist in our yes. area. So she will be there. She is a great source of great source. She is a great resource. We've actually done 3 episodes with her.
Yes.
We highly recommend that if you do know a bariatric therapist, just let Ashlyn know because she's going to register them mm-hmm. on the website. So that way all of us have an easier way of finding help.
And you gave the website already?
I did not.
Okay. So that's findabariatrictherapist.com.
Super simple, yes. easy. I love it.
Yes. And it's much needed within our community.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
All right. And then we also do have Fusion.
We have Fusion.
Yes. Fusion Vitamins. They have decided to sponsor this year. And we could not be more happy about it because we want to give everybody as many options as possible because not one vitamin works for everybody.
Correct.
Not one company works for everybody. And because no surgery is the same. No person is the same.
Yes. And we've seen people mix them up where sometimes they just have like the calcium chews from one brand and then they have the multi from the other. So do whatever works for you. And that's why we're promoting and showing other options.
Yes. And we also do want to thank the Trio Foundation, ASMBS, and WLSFA for endorsing our event. We are super proud that they believe in our event as much as we do. And they are foundations within the community that are just trying to help us get more research. It is, they are all three incredible foundations. So check them out also.
Yeah.
All right. So make sure that while you're on your phone, you look up patreon.com/OSLP. And I'm going to tell you why. Because after the show, Sunday morning, we are throwing an epic rooftop brunch for our benchies. That is what we call our support group members that sign up through Patreon. It is free for them. Mm-hmm. You can bring a guest, but you will have to purchase them a ticket if you came with your partner or a friend or whatever. But if you would like to attend that brunch, you need to sign up and become a benchie.
You do.
And then you will be free to enter. Now, the other part of that is you do also get a discount on your ticket.
You do.
So you get multiple benefits if you are a benchie. So go do that right now. The other thing is you need to go to YouTube.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes,
sorry,
it is.
Guys.
It is early for us.
It is. We don't normally record this early. Okay, so free way of supporting your girls is YouTube. It's already loaded on your phone. Mm-hmm. Just click on it. Type in Artists of Life podcast. We are the only ones. Hit the subscribe and hit the bell because you do get episodes every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like these. And you would know, well, we've had a very patient person waiting for us
to introduce them. So we want to introduce Dee. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. We cannot wait to hear your story because we love you.
Yeah.
Like, love you.
Love you too.
Thank you so much for being on. And my first question is, where did your battle with weight first start?
Can we reverse for a hot second? So, by the way, people, his name is Get Fit with D on Instagram. Make sure you go check him out. Two, he's also actually doing the pink carpet interviews for the JBY show.
With Meg.
Yeah. And they actually are giving out trophies, 6 to women and 6 to men. Do you want to go over that real quick?
Yeah, go over that.
Sure can.
Okay.
So I will actually show the trophy here.
Ooh. First look.
This is why you guys should be watching this.
Yes.
So.
Oh, it's so cute. I love it.
So, yes, we have the Bariatric Style Awards. So we have 6 awards. So we'll have a couple categories and I'll read them off.
Yeah.
And we'll hand them out live in person. And so the categories are best accessories, ooh, best hair, ooh, glamour, eclectic and fun.
Yes.
That's like one category.
Yeah.
Shoes, head to toe look. And then we're giving out a couple goals. So one, whoever a couple is that come in slaying it, whether they're, you know, man, woman, non-binary, whatever, a couple.
Yeah.
Then they each will get their own little award as a couple for being the best couple.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
That's so cool.
I love this so much.
Yeah.
I am so excited.
And we also have a giveaway, if y'all don't mind me going over that
too. Yeah, do it.
So we also have our giveaway for the pink carpet for our people who won't be able to attend. So they will enter to win all the way up into the show, and then we'll announce it. And the winner will get a free styling session with The Edit. I have to look up her name. Forgive me. I shouldn't.
Her
know
name is Catherine.
Catherine. Yes, Catherine. Mm-hmm. The Style Edit. And to enter that, you will just have to tag myself, Meg, Catherine, and Just Be You, Bariatric Awards on your story. And then you get an entry.
Wow.
And
so
we will announce that winner. And then also every Monday at 8:30 p.m. Central Time, we're doing lives. And so if you have questions about styling or you need our help pre-show, we're there. You can hop on or put your questions in the comments and we'll help you all the way leading up to the show. And I'm known to shop last minute. So at the show, if you need me to run through the boardrooms or wherever, we can do a last minute shopping thing. I know I bought my shoes like the day before the awards last year. So
and those shoes were awesome. They were on. I loved it. Point. I swear. I looked through the photos and I was like, dude, D like killed it. He came in like ready to roll.
It's my thing. I'm like, I'm with my girl Meg. I'm like, style is my thing. It is the best part. One of the best parts of this journey is the evolution of my style as my body has evolved. And it's just like, I thought I loved clothes before, but now I am obsessed with fashion and all things style and accentuating my body. So
I would imagine it's opened the doors to so much more.
Yeah.
Close. Oh yeah, I can shop at regular stores. Like it is so weird to shop, and then I'll pick up a shirt and I'm like, oh, this should fit, and then I have to go down a size. It's like the world is backwards right now. Oh, everything up is down, down is up. It's so weird.
Oh yeah, yeah. I went shopping when I was in Connecticut, and I actually put on a size large skirt because most things I'm a large. And I was like, I walked out of the dressing room and I'm like, does this look a little long to you? And she's like, Kelly, what size did you pull? Jamie did. And I was like, a large. And she's like, no. And I'm like, I need a medium, hon. She goes, yeah. And it fit like a glove. I wore it in Chicago. It was my Clueless outfit.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Right? I had the whole plaid pleated skirt and I had the little sweater like vest thing on, and it had a little couple little buttons right here and it matched, and I felt fantastic in it. I felt like I found like something that was iconic, and it was just so fun to be able to wear it and actually fit in and feel comfortable in it.
See, and that would have never happened if you didn't have surgery.
Correct. So, speaking of surgery,
yes.
Where did your weight battle with weight first begin?
Yes.
From birth. I swear I was born fat and I remained fat until now.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been a lifelong 35-year battle. It has been every stage of my life. It's all I've known, and I've fought it my entire life. And so, you know, one of the things that makes us upset in the bariatric world is when people say, oh, we took the easy way out.
Correct. Yes.
And I'm like, it's such a, I get angry for it, not because somebody misunderstands, but more because they don't know the whole story. Mm-hmm. We didn't just wake up and say, oh, I want this. Like it's a microwave decision or a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we have hoped and prayed and wished for something to help us, because everything that we've tried before just didn't work. Like on my own before surgery, I've lost and regained over 200 pounds on my own. Like it wasn't that I never tried. It's just, I got tired of being on that roller coaster of weight. And I finally was like, this is it. I need help. Yeah. I had to just let my ego go.
Yeah.
Well, and I like to tag on to that is the fact it was like, yeah, we've tried a lot of things.
Yeah.
It is not like a convenience store or like a fucking, where you put your money in and get your Skittles. Like, no, it's literally you've been working towards this. They make us do so many things prior to surgery anyway. So it's like, no, this is a lot of work.
Well, and I know from experience, I did the yo-yo dieting. I tried so many things, and it wasn't just that the diet didn't work. It was that I was not, I was not in a place mentally to take on such a journey. And through having surgery, through doing therapy, through all of these avenues that has opened after I had surgery, I've really started to heal and figure out that it's not, that it's a brain chemistry thing. Oh, and then it's also therapy from trauma. And then it's also, you know, it could be ADHD. I don't know. So there's so many different things. It's not just that I pushed the easy button and got surgery and now I'm good. Like I've had to do a lot of work, like all of us.
Yep.
To get to the point of feeling good about ourselves and healthy, and not just jump into those yo-yo dieting because you're just like, you will do anything just to not be fat.
Yep.
Yes.
Did you have a moment where you're like, no more? Like, do you remember that?
Yeah. So my no more moment was extended. So March of 2022, no, 2021, okay. I went on what I call my last diet.
Okay.
I looked to this guy and I said, look, I'm in the best place financially, mentally, emotionally that I've ever been in my entire life. If I try this diet one more time and it does not work, I'm put my ego aside and I'm just going to accept hell.
Okay.
And I went on my last diet, lost 50 pounds. And the things that I had to do to get those 50 pounds off, I was so hard on myself. I starved. I worked out obsessively. Like, I worked out to the point where one day at the gym, I passed out and fell through a wall in front of people. Most embarrassing thing ever. Like,
oh no.
And this was after losing, I think I hit the 57 pound mark. So I had been on that journey for 5 months and I had to fight for every single pound. And the moment after that, when I fell through the wall, I was like, okay, let me take a diet break because I'm going too hard. Mm-hmm. Went on vacation to Mexico, and within a month, all the weight came back. And I'm like, it took 5 months to lose all of that weight for it to pop back on in a month.
In 1 month.
And so that was it. I said, it's it.
Yeah.
This is it.
You're not doing this anymore. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but it was like the stars had aligned because the moment I went on my diet, my favorite corporate woman named Trisha, she disappeared for like 2 weeks. And I was like, she's usually replying to my emails. And I'm like, where you been, girl? And she pulled me aside and she was like, I know you're on a diet. So I'm going to tell you this. She went to where I went, which was Tijuana. And I went to Pompey Medical Center.
Okay.
And she said, this is my doctor. And this is what I did. And part of my mental thing, because I was so sick and tired, I said, okay, I'm going to have a fail safe for my fail safe. And so I put that in the back of my mind. Like, if this last diet fails, I'm going to Pompeii. And literally, the diet failed. I started doing research on YouTube around, you know, what bariatric surgery was. So I thought everything was gastric bypass. I didn't realize.
Yeah, everyone does. Yeah.
Different sector. So I started doing research. I was like, okay. And there was a YouTube video where a guy said, you know, talked about his yo-yo dieting. And he saying he lost a bunch of weight and he's like, I haven't been active for 5 months. So I was waiting for him to say he gained 50 to 100 pounds. And he said, I've been bad, guys, and I gained 5 pounds. That night, I said, this is the help I've needed. Yeah. It was like an aha moment. And I literally, it was 11 o'clock at night. I raced home, got on the website and sent in my form to sign up for Pompeii. It was like,
wow. You knew that that was the path.
Yeah. I was like, that's the thing that... whatever this surgery does, it normalizes our body so that if we do slip, it does not hit us like a ton of bricks,
right,
like us that struggled with weight loss before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like an aha moment. So that was my, you know, moment. It took a while. It was a long moment, but mm-hmm. I'm happy it all happened that way because I appreciated the journey that much more. Because I had to go through all these steps just to get this surgery.
Yeah, I can feel you on that because when Mel had surgery, I was like, I thought about it mm-hmm. and then I kind of, you know, put it out of my head. And I'm so glad I didn't do it when she did it, because I appreciate the journey so much more knowing like I was not ready back then. And as much as it sucked to have to go through all of those steps, it builds the person that I am today, as I'm sure yours built who you are today.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like with having to wait and knowing that I would go through Mexico, because I had tried 3 times in the US to get it done.
Whoa.
And my insurance kept rejecting me 3 times.
Wow.
And so finally, when I got to my last diet, I was like, I will do whatever it takes. I will sell a kidney. I will steal cars. I will do whatever it takes to get this surgery.
Steal cars.
Yeah, man.
I was like, boosting cars.
I don't know how, but I'll figure it out. And I don't even know how to check my oil, but I'll figure out how to start a car without a key. Like, that's how bad I wanted it.
Right.
you know, once I figured that out, I did a ton of research on, you know, what steps to take, what do people in the US have to go through? And I put myself through all of that stuff. And so I did my own like pre-op diet. I did my own mental work. Like I didn't have a therapist, but I watched, when I say thousands of hours of YouTube on the mindset, what life is like post-surgery, what habits you need to build. Wow. So that by the time surgery came around, mentally, I was already 6 months ahead of myself physically.
Yeah.
So it set me up.
That's crazy.
I love it. Well, that's dedication. And that's what, like,
are you feeling a little sluggish? Little lack of protein? Little lack of caffeine? Well, we got the fix for that.
That's right. Dive Bar Nutrition has the best protein bars. They have caffeine, protein, and they taste delicious.
So head on over to divebarnutrition.com and use code OSLP at checkout.
I know I didn't have enough support during my weight loss journey.
She didn't. And when we found the tribe, we were over the moon because not only do they offer you at least one support group a day, but they give you the tools and the knowledge to really succeed on your journey.
That's right. So go over to thesleevedietitian.com and find the subscribe button for the tribe and use OSLP to get your discount.
What is Sequence?
Well, Sequence is an at-home weight loss program. All you have to do is take the quiz, meet your clinician, get your prescription, and you're already on the way to a healthier you. I know when I felt hopeless with my regain, I joined right away.
And I saw great results with Kel, so guess what? I joined. So go over to joinsequence.com right now, use OSLP, and you're gonna get a discount.
With our resources now, this is what you can do. Like, there's no more excuses of like, well, I just don't know. I don't even know where to look. No, you literally can just type in now bariatric surgery and we'll even pop up as a resource.
Yes. So, yeah. Like page one, baby. Page one.
We finally
right
made
here.
It to page one.
Yes.
I'm so excited. But like, there is resources. There is ways of helping yourself. It's just doing the work. And you can actually watch the YouTube videos while you're at work.
Yeah.
You can listen to them while you're on walks, while you're at the grocery store.
Yep.
Like, you can figure this out. My question is to you about, is it Pompeii? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Pompeii. So what was their process like? Was it just an in and out situation or how does that work?
Yeah. So it's in and out, but it's very well manicured. They have it down to a science.
Okay.
Like, so when you sign up, all of the interactions are via email. So they'll email you and then they'll call you and they'll say, hey, you're 2 weeks out. This is what you got to do. There's a pamphlet that you can go to their website and download. Now, they're not like forcing it down your throat. You have to go to the website and get this information. You have to be proactive. Mm-hmm. But like all that. The information is there. Once you fly out there, they send a driver because you fly into San Diego. They send a driver over to pick you up and then they take you to Pompeii Medical Center.
Okay.
They do your blood work and get all your paperwork. Of course, collect your money because you got to pay in cash and pay in full. They don't play that. Or you can get financing, but the financial part has to be done before they touch you.
Okay.
Then the medical center, and they have a wellness condo that's like 20 minutes away from the medical center. So they take you there and they just shuttle you back and forth before surgery for your blood work, then there, then back for surgery, and then back to recovery.
Wow.
And then you recover for a couple of days. I chose to stay there for 2 or 3 days. I added an extra day on there and then went back to San Diego. I was so afraid to fly and pop my stitches that I stayed in San Diego 3 more days, which I'm obsessed with that city now.
Oh, I love that city.
Yeah, they came
San Diego
home.
Is amazing.
So yeah, it's very streamlined. The doctors are phenomenal. I had the head doctors. The name is Dr. Guionis. Like, he's over the whole entire thing. And I'm so lucky to have had him. His bedside manner is perfect. He's straight and to the point. They are so professional. One critique, and I've said it to them, I'll say it. They suck at phlebotomy. Oh my God. They tore me up with those needles. They kept missing my veins. Oh my God. It was so bad. Like, my they did my IV in my hand and they did something to where my hand swelled up like a glove. And so every time they would give me medicine, it would feel like fire going on my arm. So I was just like, don't. Yeah, I was like, let me suffer. And then the nurse said, oh, this is, you know, bad. We got to take it out again. I said, no, you're not. I'm only here 2 more days. I'm a big boy. I got it.
Oh,
so
wow.
Only critique. Yeah. Only critique. I don't know if it was just my phlebotomist or my nurse, but that was it. But everything else was streamlined. It was perfect. I would do it again in a heartbeat. And I would take my friends and the people I love the most there.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, like, I'm praying to God somebody gets it and I get to go be a companion this time because I'll be able to eat and enjoy myself. So
that's right. Yes. You get to have a little mini vacation while your friend goes through it. And the needle thing, that's one I'm going to point out that happens anywhere. Because one time when I was pregnant with Dill and I was giving birth, they fucking poked my arm probably 6 different times.
And you have easy veins.
I have easy motherfucking veins. And yeah. then a phlebotomist walks in and was like, ding, 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 gone. And I was like, where have you been all my life?
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
It's annoying.
I can feel you on that. I've been to the hospital many of a times, had to get poked many of a times, and they never believe me. So I am the lucky person, lucky because I needles don't bug me, that I need it in my hand. I get infusions every month. I know exactly where in my hand they need to poke me. And they never believe me. They're like, oh, no, I can get it through in your arm. And I'm like, no, my veins split and they are deep. So there is no way you're hitting my vein in my arm. Never believe me. I've literally had six in this arm, six in this arm. And then they finally did it in my hand. And oh, first shot first worked try. Just fine. So, but yeah. I've also had a vein blow in my hand, like you were talking about. And it swells up and it's bruised. And I've had it happen. So
they're
it's
not supposed to use that vein.
They are not. Once it blows, they need to pull the needle out. Yeah. So I'm surprised that they actually use that.
They tried, but I was like, hell no. I'm fine. I was like, I will deal with whatever repercussions. I'm fine. Like,
whatever.
Do not stick me again. And I can take pain. Huh?
I was like, whatever repercussions, like, you're wild over there. I'd be like,
I'll deal with it. I'm good.
Oh my God.
I'm not doing that. So I was, and I was so lucky. Like, everybody talks about gas pain. I never experienced it.
Wow.
My surgery was so pain free. I woke up and I was like, did y'all cancel my surgery? Did y'all not do it? I freaked out. I was like, why am I not in pain? I was up on my feet within a couple hours. Like, I was fine.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't believe it. Because I did so much research. So I was prepared for every step of pain. And I was like, where's the pain?
Oh my gosh.
So, see, I didn't know that I was having gas pain till we talked to Jeremy
a year two of the podcast.
Yeah.
So you were like, what, six years out?
Because I was getting it. He was explaining it to me. It was like in the lower back area and like where your rib cage is. And I was like, he's like, that's where I had it. And I was like, that's the pain I had. And he's like, so you were having gas pain.
I'm yeah. Like, she's like, yeah, I never had any gas pain. Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah, she did.
It can manifest in different areas of your body.
Yeah.
Just in your chest and your shoulders. It can actually be in your back. It could be, I don't know, it could be in your butt, if I know. So
yeah, I mean, it could. I mean, I feel like gas pain can go anywhere in your body. Seriously. So yeah. So what's something that you learned, like, within the first few months after having surgery, what was something, did you learn like something about yourself or about the journey that you weren't prepared for?
A couple things. One big one is when you have this surgery, I thought I knew what eating would feel like. I thought I knew what eating a little bit would feel like, but I was not prepared. Like, it's one thing to only be able to eat one half of one sushi roll or one half of an egg.
Yeah.
But to still be mentally hungry and there's nothing you can do about it. And eating, which used to be a pleasure, is pain. I learned what a true 100% looked like. All my life I've been saying, I'm giving it all I have. And that's all that I knew at the time that I had. But surgery taught me what a true 100% looks like. And it is painful. It is ugly. It is the brink of death. So
yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. And so I use that in the rest of my life going forward. If I want results, am I at the brink of death? Am I giving everything that I have? Am I afraid that the world is going to fall on top of me? If I'm not feeling that, then am I truly giving it 100%? And so that was the biggest takeaway, was I learned what a true 100% would be, because I have a list of things that I wish I could have told myself before surgery,
okay,
that may have helped me be successful. And that's at the top of the list. Every time I write that list, it is, are you really giving it 100%? And
talking to yourself. That's a good one.
It is.
Yeah. I'm a little cray cray. I always talk to myself. Like, I reflect.
Yeah. Well, we just learned that, what is it?
40% of people don't have an inner monologue.
Yeah.
What?
I know. We thought the same thing. And Meg's the one that told us.
Yeah,
and
when we were at Connie's.
Yep. And then when I got up the next morning, I was like, that is really baffling me, the fact that like 40% of people don't have an inner monologue. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to read the article. And she pulled it all the way up. And like, yeah, they just interpret things differently. They don't do a reflection. They don't talk to themselves like that. And it was kind of interesting. I found someone. So I forgot to tell you, I haven't told you this yet. So I went and visited a friend in Jacksonville, and I was telling him about the stat because I still was like baffled about the fact
that 40% of people don't have an inner monologue.
And we saw a little lizard go by, and instantly my brain was like, ooh, that's a lizard. I started talking to myself about the lizard and like all the things. And I looked at him and I told him, I was like, this is what an inner monologue is like. I literally talked to myself about the color of it, what it's doing. Maybe I might go touch it. You don't know. Right. And I'm like, what did you do? And he goes, I just looked at it and observed it. And I'm like, that's the difference. I will literally talk to myself about the item. And then they are literally just looking at the item and just like taking that item in.
Oh, no, no, no.
Right. Oh, that's that I was like, oh, OK. So it is like, and that's what Meg's when she was reading the article, that's what it was saying, is that you just observe differently. It doesn't mean one is more smarter than the other. It's just how we interpret information. And I was like, this is fucking weird.
That is weird because, yeah, I talk to myself a lot, or I mean, I do it with everyday things, like, and I'll talk out loud sometimes and Mel thinks I'm talking to her and I'm not. She had to learn that very early on. She's like, why is she telling me I don't care what she's doing over there. And I'm like, oh, I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking to myself.
She will literally run down her whole day 1 to 2 times out loud. And so I'm like, does she think I'm not listening? Like, I know what her day is. Like,
yeah. No, it's that I'm running through it for myself because I don't want to forget anything. Or, you know, you talk about like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And most of the time I do it in my head, but sometimes I do it out loud. Or like when I'm really pissed at technology, that's definitely out loud. I'm like, you son of a bitch, just do what I want you to do. So, yeah. But I'm glad that you have that inner monologue and that you are making the lists of things that you wish you had known to share it with other people, because some people don't have that. No. And I know I was really scared going in. I knew I was having surgery either way, but I was very scared because I was like, what happens if this doesn't work? What if, you know, a complication happens? Like, because I read my entire bariatric Bible several times, had notes written out. I was like one of those crazy people with the bariatric Bible. And I actually still have my bariatric Bible, which is kind of funny.
Tossed mine. It's gone.
Yeah, I kept mine. Yeah. I was just like, this is such a big part of my life now that I need to keep it. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it's there. But I'm glad that you started that list, because that can definitely help people. Other people, like you were saying, like you want somebody in your life to go to Pompeii and you want to be the companion. Well, now you've got this wealth of knowledge that you can share with that person if and when it ever happens. And I love hearing that.
Well, and I wanted to touch base with you about, like, so to tell everybody, like, you know, what was your highest weight? Mm-hmm. And then what is your food and workout routines now? What does it look like?
Okay. So my highest weight, so there's two highest weights that I live by.
Okay.
So my lifetime highest weight was actually 357. That's one that I don't really share because I got so stuck on that operation weight. Mm-hmm. So 357 is my lifetime highest weight.
Okay.
So if you count from my highest weight to my lowest, which was 185 before I started adding muscle back on, I'd lost 172 pounds.
Damn.
Whoa. So,
but within the year, from March 2022, that was 307 to 185.
Okay.
And so that's 122 pounds.
That's
and
still crazy. And so that's
the
crazy one
that I talk about the most. But my real highest weight was 357.
That's wild.
And so to answer the other part of your question, I'm going to go back and then jump forward.
Perfect.
Okay. So we talked about like, you know, how we came to the surgery, but I was so used to failing at weight loss that even me picking VSG was a failure response. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get VSG because if I mess this up, then I can go and get it revised and switch the duodenal switch.
Yep.
And then if that doesn't work, then there's, you know, Simpic and all that stuff now that I didn't know about at the time, but I was like, I will have as many fail safes built into this as possible.
Okay.
But with that, I said, look, my approach now is I'm throwing everything in the kitchen sink at it. And so I was like, okay, surgery was March 2nd. I asked my doctor, when is the first day I can go to the gym and work out? He said, 6 weeks. I marked it on my calendar, made sure my gym memberships were lined up. And that 6 week I was at that gym and I said, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I can read a watch and I'm going to move my body around this place for 2 hours. And I was like, as long as I can show up and commit to 2 hours every single day, then that's what I'm going to do. And my thought process was, everybody, when we're inspired, we start off going overboard.
We do.
And then you kind of relax back. So if I was like, if I start going 7 days a week, every single day until it becomes a habit, then I'll back off a little bit and be normal and just go 5 days. That kind of never happened, but I didn't know at the time that that would become my life. I didn't know. But,
right. Yeah. You have no idea.
Yeah, you don't. So, and you know, in the beginning, you are tired. Like once the initial burst of energy goes away, I mean, I could barely function. I was so tired. I was seeing stars because I wasn't used to eating so little.
Yeah.
And then you add all that exercise. So I tell this story, but I don't want anybody to follow my footsteps because all of my stuff was a fear response. I reckon anybody go seek a therapist, get a coach and do it a more healthy way. The weight will come off. Don't rush it like I did.
Okay.
So, but for me, I'm an obsessive personality. I'm a type A personality. So I want it and I want it now. And I will do everything, even cut my own arm off to get it. So 2 hours a day, every single day, rain, sleep, I went. And so in that, I learned to operate at zero. So when I would get to the gym, there are times where I would step out of the car and fall asleep, like getting out of the car before I walk into the gym.
Wow.
And I wake up, still go. So that was a bit extreme. But what it did was it built into my brain that no matter how you feel, no matter what's going on, no matter, you know, external circumstances, you can still push through and go and reach your goals. And so that helped build my mind up. And same time as I'm working out and I'm recovering and healing, I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I had to come to terms with when I came out of surgery, I was so much weaker than when I went in. And so at the gym, I'm trying to, you know, I'm lifting 5 pound weights and I'm struggling. This is embarrassing, but still had to go.
Yep.
So I did that from April until May. At the end of May, my best friend, she said, why don't you come to Orange Theory with me? She even asked me for years. And I was like, no. I finally went. I went one day and I was addicted.
Yeah?
I mean, I was, this is my thing.
Okay.
And it was perfect. So I started working out at Orange Theory, but I kept my weight training program because at that time I had hired Rob Motivation as my lifting coach.
Yeah.
And so I had his workout plan, plus I had Orange Theory, and the weight just fell off. I mean, it went so quick at that point, having those two. And it had become such a habit where, like, it was like all of my food addiction, everything just went straight to the gym.
Yep.
And it just became my life and my passion. And now it's just like, I'm so happy to be able to just move my body.
Yeah.
And just that feeling of, oh, I went today and I can move just a bit faster than I did yesterday. And it just, it snowballed from there.
Wow.
And yeah, so and I track the scale every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so just watching the weight go down and holding myself accountable and learning how what I eat and what I do affects the scale, it helped take the emotion out of it that had been assigned to it my whole life.
Yeah.
So now if I gain 2 pounds, I'm like, oh, I probably had something salty. I drank too much water or I had a really hard workout instead of saying, oh, I failed. I took the emotion out of it and put the science back into the scale. So it's during that first 6 months, like all of these things just started to click and make sense. I was like, this is what's been wrong my entire life. You know, it just took me doing this to have enough time to figure it out without having to work the scale shooting back up.
Wow. I love that.
Hopefully that answered your question.
No, it does. I just love that that's what the surgery can give you.
Yeah.
Because it's very impressive what you were doing. Are you still doing both things right now or how does that work?
Yeah. So I try and be smarter about it. And a lot of my fitness people hate it. They're like, I need to cut down my cardio a little bit. But I truly love cardio. I do that for passion, not for any results.
Okay.
So Orange Theory, I run. So high intensity workouts, I run. I do boot camps on Sundays. So any kind of physical movement, not just running. I walk. There's a lake out here that's a 10-mile loop. I'll do that every chance that I can, probably at least once a week.
Wow.
Just things like that, just getting out and being active. And then work, I switch to a position where I'm on my feet all day. Nice. So I don't count that as exercise. No. I just count it as movement.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that I'm walking 5 miles a day just at work, but that doesn't, you know.
Yeah, those don't correlate.
Towards my exercise.
Yeah. I like that you kept them separate, that mm-hmm. there's exercise and then there's movement. And I feel like a lot of people confuse those two.
They do. Yeah.
And I don't want to get it wrong. Like, you're not wrong if you're just doing movement, and you're not wrong if you're just doing exercise.
Correct.
But you have to know which one you're doing so that you can be mm-hmm. informed of that.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you put those intentional actions and measure everything, then you have cause and effect. And it's not just, oh, I failed because I failed, or I'm succeeding because I'm lucky. It's, you know, what you do to affect these numbers and to get your results. Because everything that I did was results oriented and based in the beginning. I will say that why I started and the things that I wanted rapidly changed, because the weight loss happened so fast because I was so aggressive. Mm. I kind of look back and regret it going so quick because it was like I waited 34, 35 years for this moment. And it went by like that. Like 6 months, I had lost all my weight. Damn. And so I was like, it went by like that.
Yeah.
I started in March and I was my goal weight in September. Wow. And so the beginning of September. So I was like, where did it go?
Wow.
And I kind of mourned not enjoying the process a little longer. So if I had to do it again, I probably would slow down a little bit and add more mental health check-ins and things like that. Maybe get a therapist instead of dedicating all my time to the gym.
Yes. Yes. I think it's really hard sometimes because I can feel you on, like, I was a very fast loser also. And so I hit my goal weight by my first year. Surgiversary. And I was so hyper-focused on the scale, excuse me. And then I was so hyper-focused on just losing the weight. And I was enjoying the fact that I was like, every time I got on the scale, another couple pounds were down. But now looking back and having my regain and then utilizing Mounjaro, and then now we're going, you know, I've gone down again. I really feel like this time I was able to enjoy all the little moments in between that.
Yeah.
Instead of being so hyper-focused on what the scale said. Like, I honestly haven't weighed myself in like a month, maybe a month and a half. And I'm not like obsessive about weighing myself, but it was like a way to check in with myself and make sure I was doing what I'm doing or what I was supposed to be doing. Now I know, like, my clothes fit good. I'm eating. I'm drinking. Okay. I'm good. Taking my vitamins. I'm doing the things that I need to do, and I'm not so hyper-focused on it. And so I'm actually able to enjoy it. So I would definitely say for all of those pre-oppers out there, keep that in your brain. Like, enjoy the journey, because the journey is going to go faster than you think it will.
Oh yeah. That first year goes quick. And some people like yourself go 6 months. Mm-hmm. So you just never know. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're working out like crazy. I kind of want to know why was Orange Theory so awesome for you? Like, what flipped for that? Because I know from my experience, like, rowing all of a sudden was like that for me. Once I tried it, I was like, oh, I want to row all the time.
Yeah.
So like, you went to a whole different place.
Yeah. So I'm a super competitive person.
Okay.
And it's a group environment. And so at the gym, if I'm by myself, I could push so far, but I'm like, maybe I can pull back. But in Orange Theory, it's monitored and you're directed. And so if they say run for 13 minutes, you run for 13 minutes unless you want to be the one that stops and walks. And that's not my personality. So I was like, I don't care if my lung falls out. I'm going to run and complete these 13 minutes. And okay. So that's click with me. It's like it forces me to hold myself accountable and I'm truly giving my all. It's back to that. Are you really giving your 100%? Mm-hmm. Going to an environment like that, it holds you to that 100%.
Yeah.
And you can measure, like it's so numbers driven. Like you have a base of push and an all out, and that's the speed that you work out at. And so let's say a base is between 1 and 10. When I started, my base was a 4. My base is now an 8.
Oh.
And that's a being nice. It's probably 9 or 10. So I was able to watch myself grow and scale with that. And I can tell from the first class that it's so tracked that it's something that I can do and I can monitor and keep getting better. And I can kind of secretly compete with the people around me.
Mm-hmm. And that's cool.
So it just hit all of my little craziness. I was like, oh yeah, this is perfect for me.
Oh,
so
I'm like
saying it's for everybody, but for me and my personality, it just clicked.
No, I get that, because when I did the cycling as a group, mm-hmm. it is different, because like when they say stand, you don't want to be the only one not standing.
Yeah.
When they say pedal faster, you don't want to be the only one not pedaling faster. Like they're like going up a hill, down a hill time where you're like, oh, fuck, you're keeping up with the whole class.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize that you can actually do it, I remember the first time I was able to do every single instruction. And without like any alterations, I was so fucking excited. I remember leaving that class, like literally jumping up and down. And it was early. Like that class is at 7 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And I was like, I was there. That's how dedicated you become. And I mm-hmm. got addicted to working out as well because it felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the results, not like super fast, but because like, I actually was a slow loser. It took me 18 months to hit my lowest. Mm-hmm. And but it was so cool to just see your body transform. And then how much more it can do. Like mm-hmm. I was able to do like the fact that I could do the whole class without stopping now. Mm-hmm. I was doing hip hop classes and I could literally do every squat in that freaking Black and Yellow song. Like literally there's over 100 squats in Black and Yellow. And oh my God, I could do all of them. And when you can finally reach those little like nuggets of goals, you feel great. And it has mm-hmm. nothing to do with the scale.
Yeah.
It's literally your endurance. It's your stamina. It's mm-hmm. your strength. It's like all the things that you really need to live your life.
Yeah. I remember doing a boot camp class before I ever got diagnosed with autoimmune diseases. And I fucking loved it. Like I was there every single day that they had it. And I just loved being a part of that group setting where it wasn't just me against me. Mm-hmm. It was like everybody was all at different times and strengths and but you could watch yourself grow. Yep. And like when you go from like barely being able to run to like running up and down back and forth, you're like, yes, I got this.
Yeah.
And it just feels good. It's a different feeling when you're in a group setting versus just going into the gym and doing your weights. And, you know, even if you're doing a program, like you can talk yourself. So here's the funny thing that I didn't realize when I first started working out is that when you're by yourself, your brain is trying to protect you. Mm-hmm. So it's saying you can be done now. You've done enough. Like mm-hmm. we don't want you to push yourself past that point. And when you're in a group setting, I feel like that brain kind of shuts off.
Oh yeah, you're not talking to yourself. You're just focused.
No.
You're looking at everyone else and you're just like, oh, I got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you've only got a short amount of time that you're being able to do this. So you want to do everything that you can. So it's interesting. So if somebody's at home and they're saying like, well, I always stop before like your body can go way longer than you think it can.
Oh,
yes.
1000%.
Yeah. And this again leads back to that. Are you giving 100%?
Mm-hmm.
I promise you now, if there's any portion of your life that you struggle with, if you think you're giving 100%, you're probably giving 40. That's the difference between what you can do and versus what your mind is telling you mm-hmm. that you can do. It's so vast.
Mm-hmm.
And this journey has opened my eyes to that, especially those classes. It really pushes you to 100%.
Wow.
And it's making me think about looking up Orange Theory and just trying to see.
Well, there's one in South Salem.
I know exactly where it's at too. Yep. I can
already right by the horizon.
I will fly out and go to class with you. That's how much I will come and go to class with you.
Yeah,
like, we can sign
Fuck DC, yeah. Whatever.
Come to Oregon.
I would love for you to be in Oregon.
Yes.
Only when it's warm. It's way too cold. Like, I almost died in November. It was so cold.
It was very okay, cold. Well, right now it's been like, last week was in the hundreds. Right now we're in the high 90s, low 90s. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't come here in November. It is pretty cold.
August, September, like beginning of September, that's the perfect time to go or come here. And you're from Texas. So you are in hot weather all the time. But yeah, that's the perfect time to come to Oregon if you like hot weather. It would be August, beginning of September. So, so tell us.
One thing I do want to add in. I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead.
You mentioned it and we kind of touched on it, but that mind body connection. So before, my mind would say, do 10 push-ups. And my body was like, uh-uh. There was a hard line where it's like, what I thought I could do, my body said no. On the flip side, now the best feeling is that when my mind tells my body to do something, it does it. And I'm like mid push-up, like, I cannot believe I can actually do this. Like, I can't believe my arm is moving and my body isn't flopping on the ground and all that stuff. And I thought the biggest victory would be having a different body. And it is, it's a short-lived victory. Like, you notice it and it's like, and you just find more things to pick apart. Yeah. What I didn't know is that those victories, like being able to move your body into a push-up or your brain saying, run for 10 minutes and actually being able to do that, that is where all of my happiness lies. Like just those little moments of being able to just do what my mind tells my body to do.
Yeah, like not to mention, like, it's freaking great when you can look at your body and feel like very proud of where you've come from. But it's a whole nother thing to have that mindset. Working on that mindset every day, working on the that aspect of it, because your body is going to change overnight. It's going to feel like it's overnight. But then as soon as you start getting further along, it's the mindset issues that come up. And so that's where the real work starts to come in.
100% agreed.
Yeah.
For sure.
So do you...
It is definitely tough in my...
Okay. Oh, no. Keep going.
I mean, I was just going to say, I'll make it quick, 18 months out and I'm still not used to this body. Like when people give me props and they're like, oh, look at your arms, look at this. And I literally look like, huh? Like I'm, you would think you work this hard for this body. It doesn't make sense. What I see in the mirror, what I see in my reflection, it does not make sense. It's almost like I'm looking at someone else. So I still haven't connected with my physical body. I'm like, I think this is me.
Well, because you are looking at someone different. Like, if you think about it, like, the core of you is still the same. But when you look at who you were prior to who you are now, those are two very different people. Yeah. So it would make complete sense that you have not caught up with that because you lived with this body and this person for 35 years. And you've only lived with this person for a short amount of time.
It's true.
Oh, I just gave myself chills with that one.
I'm so proud. I love it.
Tell us about your food.
That's where I was going. Was like,
okay.
Did you have any problems with food? Was everything pretty kosher for you? Like, how'd it go?
No.
No.
So remember I said I didn't have any complications? Well, that was in surgery. I paid the piper later. So right out of surgery, when I introduced semi-solid foods, I would take one bite and then another and it would come, it wouldn't stay down.
Oh.
And so I said, oh, this new stomach is really tight. So I found out later that I had some kind of stricture, like fine, but as soon as I put food in, it would get stuck in the top portion of my stomach of that hourglass portion and wouldn't let anything pass. Oh. So everything would come back up after. And I'm one of those naughty people. I don't separate my food and my drinks. I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know. And I know that's a big thing for y'all. I'm sorry. Yes. But the hard way that was was going on with me. So it took 5 months for that to heal. So for the first 5 months, my portion size was one half of one egg. Like that's all I could eat. And then
Jesus. No wonder why you lost so much in the first 6 months. Like you had this suture and then you're working out like a motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. So did the stricture get resolved?
Yeah.
It literally just healed on its own. Like the middle of July, one day I went to eat something and I was like, I just ate almost a whole sandwich, and I would eat like just egg sandwiches. Uh-huh. And I was like, I mindlessly ate the whole thing. And I'm like, wait, and I'm not running to the bathroom. I'm like, I'm healed. So it healed on its own. One day I could just eat more, and then my strength and my energy shot through the roof.
Yeah.
It literally like doubled.
Yeah. Cause you're actually getting the nourishment you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I didn't know, I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So I was like, oh, this must be life. And so I just adapted. And thank God I didn't just, you know, fold over, because I felt like I couldn't, and I probably in hindsight really couldn't, but if I didn't push myself the way I did, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't know that I could go as far as I could go, because I went on true absolute zero. Like I worked out on nothing.
Wow.
And it carried me through. So yeah.
More power to
so
you.
Now, yeah. Yeah. Even with all that, like I made a rule for myself. There was no cheating, no alcohol, no anything until I met or beat my goal.
Okay.
So I'm big on, I love rewards, but I don't reward myself until I am 100% finished. So I was strict protein, high protein, low carb, no sugar, nothing. My only cheat is Diet Coke. I never gave that up. But up until September, like I didn't even touch a cookie or anything. Once I hit my goal and maintained it for a couple of weeks, I allowed some bread back in, some carbs and some, I hate to call it cheat, but I allowed normal food back into my diet, more balanced.
Okay.
Foods. Now I eat a very balanced diet. Like I'm not perfect at all. I kind of have to eat a little more carbs now to keep up with all of the workouts that I did, because I was starting to look a little skeletal. Like if you look at me from like last September, I was like stick and bones. And so to build the body that I want now, I still track everything, high protein, medium carbs, unless I have a really heavy lift, and then I'll up the carbs.
Okay.
But a lot of protein shakes. I still drink my Premier protein shakes. I love those, the cafe latte ones. I'll drink those every single morning. And then if my family goes out, I'll do that. The only thing I don't indulge in is alcohol. That's okay. Just my one rule. I'm afraid that it'll stunt my weight loss or my progress or anything. So I'm afraid of alcohol.
Okay. Okay.
Eventually I'll get over that. Like, but
well, you're not wrong though. It does stunt your metabolism for 72 hours.
Yeah.
So,
oh
yeah. So it really does like affect your exercise and your metabolism and how that all processes and lays out. I was the same. I was like, I'm not going to do that until like the latest. And I did on my 30th birthday in Mexico. Like, how do you not have a tequila shot? It's going to happen.
Yeah. So,
but I definitely agree. I think everybody should be really mindful of the alcohol thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not talked about enough. We're going to talk about it a lot more as going forward, because we're seeing it rampant in our community, but no one's saying anything. And the transfer addiction is real.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, me and UD transferred that onto working out.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's people out there that are transferring that and not knowingly into alcohol and then slowly becoming an alcoholic and having some issues. And so we want you to be very mindful, talk to your surgeon, talk to your doctors, get a therapist, because things are going to happen to you that you don't realize that can happen to you. No one goes in thinking, I'm going to be an alcoholic today.
No.
It slowly happens, you know?
It does slowly happen.
I'm going to be a gambler. No, you don't start out that way. So it's just like, get the help that you need as you're going, because it's very important, and know that transfer addiction is real and live, and it could be anything.
Yeah.
It really can.
Yeah. I mean, Connie Stapleton actually talks about the umbrella of addiction, and that it's very easy to go from one to another, to another, to another, to another. And I think that's very much needed to talk about more, kind of like what Mel was saying. Like, it is running rampant through our community because not enough people are talking about the fact that you can have a couple drinks month three. Yeah, it's not going to bug you. It may stall your weight, but as soon as you introduce that back in, your body can be like, oh, I like the way this feels. Okay. Then you're having a couple drinks every week, and then it comes into one drink a night, and then it's a couple drinks every night. And it's before you know it, you have it's taken over your life.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons why surgeons say to either give up alcohol for life or to wait a couple years out before you have a few drinks, because you want to get all of this mindset stuff worked out before you introduce something that is going to
alter that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really does. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you've talked about therapy through this. Have you gone to therapy? Do you have a therapist?
Not yet. And I swear, I'm like, that is the last frontier for me. I'm like, I really need to get a therapist. Mm-hmm. And the crazy part is everything is better than it's ever been, but I feel like I need help learning to ease up a little bit, because I'm so hard on myself and I don't know how to thank myself or reward myself. Mm-hmm. It's all business all the time. And just to relax and sleep and let my mind go is something that I struggle with.
Okay.
That's why I was like, I'm very careful with what advice I give out to people, because now people are starting to come to me, what should I do? And I want to be like you. And I'm like, well, be like you. Don't want to be like me, because I'm like, behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff that may not be the best that goes into it. So I want therapy for that stuff, so that if I'm out here inspiring people, then I'm inspiring them a healthy way, not something that's too skewed one way or the other.
I like that you're aware of that. Mm-hmm. And that I feel like everybody, and we've touched on this a few times with the therapist that we talked to, you should be seeing a therapist even in your happiest time.
Yep.
Because it's not just when you're like the lowest you can low that you need to go to therapy. Like, we need to just be able to talk to somebody, and they are completely, they're trained to deal with the problems that we have, but then also talk us through when things are good. Like, I had therapy yesterday and everything has been so good.
Yeah.
That I was just going on and on about how everything was so good and like the things that worked and the things that didn't work. And we were talking about it. It's not just like the huge problems that you need to talk about. Like, you need to unload the good stuff as much as the bad.
Well, and the therapist that we've talked to, they said they need a baseline.
Yeah.
They need to know what your emotions and what things are like throughout your whole, like a full year or two, so they can see what's going on during the lows and the highs.
Yes.
It's very important as a therapist for them to know, so that way they can actually like prescribe things correctly and give you the right advice. Mm-hmm. So we're big on that as well.
Yes.
I'm like you. I have to go back too. I have an email. I just have not emailed them. I don't know why I'm not emailed them. At least I have it, I guess. But still, it's very, very important. I wanted to talk about loose skin. You lost so quick. So where has been your loose skin patches? Do you even have any? Because like, you're younger, so, you know, things kind of.
And you're weightlifting.
And you're weightlifting. So which helps. How did that go for you?
So it is people don't seem to notice until they do. So it is like, if I reach for something the right way. So if I do my arms like this, you can't see it.
No.
But if I let it slack.
Oh, there it is.
It's right there.
Okay.
So it's right there. My chest, it's hard up here. But then right under there, there's loose skin. My stomach, my butt is horrible. I look
your
like
butt?
An 80-year-old man. It is so bad. I need a BBL like yesterday. So I have a lot of loose skin. And this goes back to that body image thing where, you know, I put all of my hopes and dreams into a number on the scale, but didn't realize that once I get there, then you just move on to the next set of things that you want to fix.
Right.
And so it's just like with my loose skin, it's all over. And then to work as hard as I did for the body that I have, I feel like it doesn't show. I can't go to the beach shirtless and be happy and comfortable because I'm not as fit and firm as I really am, but the skin makes it look like I'm more out of shape than I actually am, because I'm completely lean. So the skin is a big, big topic, and I spiral. If there's one mental health thing that gets me every time, is when someone knows that I've lost weight without me telling them, because then I know they saw my skin. And it's just like, I'll be in the locker room at the gym changing and somebody will say, how much weight did you lose? Out of like, not hello, not how much weight. And they mean well. They really mean well. And they're so positive and they're happy. And I have to put on this person to match their energy, but then I go and get in the car and the world starts to spin and I come undone. So the loose skin is like, it bothers me way more than I like to admit.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So it's like, it's there. it happened. It's the price I paid for being big my whole life. Mm-hmm. I understand it. Right now, I'm in that psycho research phase that I go into. I'm on every blog, but people don't really share the after a lot, like okay. with the loose skin, especially men. So okay. I'm thank God for like Rob Motivation, a couple people that had it. Because I can look at theirs, see the scars. Because I know me. So not only getting the skin removed, but then I'm like, how do my scars look? Do I look good naked? Yeah. How does my butt look? Like, there's going to be a whole nother process that I know me, I'm going to put myself through. So with the skin, it's getting prepared for how much it's going to cost, mm-hmm. the pain, how right. much I can get done at one time, mm-hmm. and then what the after looks like, and will I ever truly be happy? Mm-hmm. That's another big thing with me is like, I keep moving the goalpost. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find where's my contentment at? Like, when will I ever be content? And if that's even possible.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. So you're talking about having plastics. So that's what you're searching right now of like
yes.
what you want to do and things mm-hmm. like that. Now, we have been told by other people for like your skin tone for scars, like that's a big deal in your guys' community. So is that something that you're nervous about or like, well, how do you feel about that?
For me personally, like at some people with my skin tone, they get really bad keloid scars. I'm fortunate. I have been blessed from above that I don't keloid at all. Like okay. my skin, if I have a scar, it fades into oblivion. So you can't see it. So I'm hoping that this that's carries amazing. On to that.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Not, I have been, for my complexion, I don't like tattoos. Like, I don't think they show up well. I've never found a tattoo artist that can make ink pop on my skin tone.
Okay.
But I have looked up full body tattoos to cover up the scars if I'm not happy. So me putting those backup plans on my backup plans.
Yeah.
Tattoo is one of them. So I'm going to probably do like an Aquaman style body tattoo.
That was so cool. That's amazing. So, yeah. I do love these backups to the backup.
Yeah. I feel like you have to have them. Yeah. You have to have backups to the backups. Cause what if the first line of
defense does not work?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You got to.
Yeah.
Got to. Okay. That's why I need that fear response. That has to be some kind of fear trigger that I'm so used to, you know, stuff not working out. So it's like, I don't know. I just well, I hopefully get
it. You know, therapy. prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
Yes.
Kind of how it is. I mean, especially with lives that we've lived.
Yeah, for sure.
I would have to say, oh my goodness. So I'm going to go into it. Are you single now? Are you not single? How's the dating life? What's it like for you after surgery?
Yeah. So I am married. I actually have a husband. Like okay. we've been together for over 10 years. We've been married for 6 years now. And so he has been my biggest rock before. Mm-hmm. He was supportive during, and I couldn't have done it without him. He's like my little silent partner in the background. Aww. He lets me live my bariatric life and explore it on my own. Mm-hmm. Because I share everything, but this is really personal to me. Mm-hmm. And I had to sit him down. I was like, look, when I go to meetups and things like that, I need this for me. I need to experience it and take it in and be interactive mm-hmm. without you making it about you. Mm-hmm. And I say that with love.
Yeah.
He's been a perfect partner and stepping back. And if I say, hey, I'm going to a bear at your meetup, he's like, I'll see you when you get back. Nice. And he'll help me pick my outfit or give me advice and all this stuff. So he has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I was worried about, because he liked bigger guys when we got together. So I said, look, if we need to make an arrangement now, because when I realized that my body was changing way quicker, like this was finally going to work.
Yeah.
I had a serious sit down and I was dead serious. I said, look, if we need to open this up and you need to go get what you like, let's talk about it. I was just mm-hmm. like, I'm changing so much so I can understand how it can change for you. It's not just about me in this moment. So I need you to be honest with me throughout this entire journey of what you're thinking, what you're liking, what you're not liking. Mm-hmm. And he's been like, we have check-ins almost monthly.
Oh, I like it. People, those are very, very important.
Check-ins are very important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because even I did that with my ex, like, because he met me as a bigger person. So mm-hmm. same thing in your head's like, yeah. oh shit, what if my whole body changes and they're like, ew. You know, like yeah. almost that's what you're afraid of.
Yeah.
You're afraid to be naked now and be like, oh, that's not what I kind of you know, was hoping for. Yeah. So you do actually have to have check-ins, and it's very important. And we did that too. Like, we didn't have them scheduled check-ins, but we were talkers and we were like best friends. And so we would talk through the night sometimes and we would talk about those things. I'd be like, is there anything that you're worried about? You know, because there was a time because I finally said no to sex one time and he was like, you're going to leave me. And it's Lord, hold on. That was just the first time I've ever done that in a relationship. I get it that I'm smaller, but it had nothing to do with that. It really is. I had no energy.
Yeah.
It really was.
People's number one question is, so when are y'all going to break up? Like, the people in our lives, they assume that when I lost all this weight, they were like, okay, so you're going to leave him? I'm like, huh? I'm like, it was the furthest thing from my mind. I'm like, I'm just focused on this weight. I'm not thinking about like,
yeah, you're like, no, they're my supporter. Yeah.
Before, why would I drop them now? So that was a big thing, getting used to those kind of questions and having to make sure that I show him extra love publicly so that people had faith in our relationship, because it's hard enough going through privately. So that was a big, big focus. And then also like him, not making him feel like because I changed my life that I expect him to do the exact same. And so I try not to judge him when he eats more than I think he should, or if he asks for my help, I'll help him and give him advice. If he doesn't, hands off.
That's right. Yeah. You don't offer it unless it's asked.
Yeah.
In relationships, that is huge. Do not offer advice unless they ask for it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I have learned that because Zach is a bariatric patient. He actually lost 220, I believe. Yeah. He lost a lot of weight and he will do this thing where he overeats every single time he overeats and then he's in pain.
Yep.
And at first I was like, well, you shouldn't overeat. Or I would grab his plate because I knew he was about to do that. And then he'd be in pain all night. And now I'm just like, he'll say it and I'll be like, oh, that sucks. And I just sit there. I want to go back to what you said about people asking when you were going to leave him. Because right after my divorce, now my ex-husband left me. It was not me leaving him. So I was talking to my ex-sister-in-law one day and she goes, yeah, so-and-so was like, I knew it. I knew she was going to leave him after having surgery, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and I guess my ex-sister-in-law like was like, no, that wasn't it at all. Like, he left her. And they were like, oh, why? And so it was interesting that somebody like automatically assumed that because I had surgery, I was going to leave him.
Yep.
Now, I had no plans to leave him. It was an abusive relationship. I didn't know about it, but I had no plans to leave that man. And so it was interesting that somebody that wasn't even in our daily lives just automatically assumed that. Mm-hmm. So I can feel you on those questions. Like, and you're like, no.
Yeah.
That's even in my brain.
It's frustrating with those questions.
Yeah.
Because it's so intrusive.
Have you gotten those questions?
Yeah. People thought I was going to leave Eric in the beginning. They're just like, they're literally having that question of like, so you're this weight, like, what's going to happen? And you're like, that's not what I'm like. You're like, you said, that's not my focus right now.
Yeah. My focus is becoming healthy.
Because I remember telling Eric, I'm like, hey, this next year is going to be all about me. How do you feel about that? And he goes, oh, I don't care. Do that. He's like, you take all of it. I don't need any shine over here. And I was like, sweet. And it's like, you have to do those things, but it's also like, come on, people, just because we had the surgery doesn't mean that we want the divorce.
Well, and that's what I go back to, like, the core of us doesn't change.
Yeah.
The core of us is still the same person. There's still the same person that loves this individual. They're still committed to that relationship. The outside changes. And yes, that you are a different person exterior wise. And there are certain aspects that you have learned and your mental aspects have grown. But the core of you still loves that person. Just because you drop the weight doesn't change the love.
No, it doesn't change the love.
At all. It may make you realize some things that you don't want in your life. But for the majority of the time, I believe that you're still the same person,
right?
That the surgery isn't changing that.
And just because me and my ex are going through it right now, I'm 8 years out. It's not the surgery.
It doesn't have anything to do with the surgery.
It has nothing to do with that. It has, and I'm leaving him, but it wasn't about the surgery.
No.
So it's just people just grow. And I think that's the deal is like, if you have a partner that is willing to grow with you, mm-hmm. then you're going to be totally fine.
Yep.
It's those that are like kind of stubborn and they don't even want to talk to you about your weight loss journey. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that they're all shy and hands off. Mm-hmm. That's where you're going to have some problems because now you feel like you can't talk about yourself to your partner. Like that feels weird, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I think one that is engaged in the journey that you're going through, mm-hmm. whether they are going to go through it with you, whether they're not changing anything about the way they eat or exercise, I think as long as they are engaged and communicating with mm-hmm. you all through your journey, and it doesn't matter if you're 1 month, 3 months, 6 years, 50 years out, as long as they are engaged in the journey that you have chosen,
yep.
I feel like you'll be fine.
I think so
too. I really do. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. takes a lot of communication and a lot of engagement within your relationship to keep that solid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard. It's super hard.
What were you going to say?
I was going to ask him about your support. Like, how has the family and friends been around you? Are you seeing any haters? Are you just getting all the love? What's going on?
Yeah. So I'm lucky. I don't want to say hate. I'm lucky I've got a ton of love, like a ton of love.
Yay.
Especially when they see the full journey, mm-hmm. especially to where I'm at now. I would say my semifinal form, like this people love. When I was getting too skinny, I mean, nobody said anything to me about what I was eating when I was like 357 pounds, right. Like nothing.
They don't.
The second I'm losing weight and I don't want to eat, oh, you're going to die. You need to eat something. So, I got those a lot. I didn't tell my family until after surgery, especially because I was going to Mexico. So I was just like, I have my, in case we get killed by the cartel, which is nothing like that, but no. I'm crazy. So I had my backup friends that knew about it. And I'm like, if this happens, this is where the money's at. This is the will, like execute. I love it.
Wow.
But besides that, I didn't tell them till after. And I was wide open with my surgery, like with coworkers. If anybody asked me, the first thing I tell them is I did this in conjunction with that. So, but I haven't had a lot of hate, just people misunderstanding how we have to eat, working out. I get more hate or concern about the amount of workouts that I do.
Okay.
Because I try to post them as much as I did because, again, it's just this whole perception. If you're eating at a buffet, nobody will say anything. But God forbid you work out and eat salads, then everybody's concerned. So it's just controlling that has been my experience. But I've been lucky. Like, I've not had true naysayers or anything like that.
Oh, good.
Perfect.
We like hearing that. We did. So that's why we always ask that.
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
But you learn. Yeah, it's like what people are going to think what they want to think.
Yeah.
But nobody, if we listen to what everybody else thinks, they're gone when the repercussions happens,
right?
To the bad that they want us to make. Mm-hmm. So they don't want us to do this. But if we stay fat and God forbid had a heart attack or something or lost a leg to diabetes, where would those same people be with the same support?
Yep.
As the judgment that they give, nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
So you learn, brush it off. I don't care. People, right? They're going to talk. They're going to say what they want. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Good. Agreed. Yeah. I had a friend that when our friendship ended, she made a comment of when I would just talk about my weight loss, like, oh, I'm excited because this shirt's too big. You know, like, you know, the non-scale victories that happened right after surgery. It was within my first, like, I think
6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I was really annoyed about
it. And I was so excited. And she's like, I just cried in the closet with my husband because it just made me feel so awful. And I was like, but that's like what you view about yourself. So, but if I stayed fat and ate cookies all night with you on the couch, you were totally fine. That being our friendship, but me making a health decision and being able to actually fucking move.
Yeah, you can move.
That's the problem. Okay, cool. Yeah. So yeah, we did not last much longer than that.
No, you don't.
I was like, nope. Nope. I am totally cool now to sit on the couch and eat cookies with you. But back then, I had to take my journey seriously. And part of my taking my journey seriously is I had to cut out certain aspects of my diet. And I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I went through the experience. I'm glad I can talk about the type of friendship I want now versus back then. That's not a friendship I want in my life.
No.
So. And
And Kel brought up NSVs. So what are some of your non-scale victories?
Hell yeah.
So mine are a lot around clothes, like being able to fit into a medium. I have never, I don't even remember as a kid. I feel like I'm in a smaller size as a grown man than when I was in middle school, elementary school. Even.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
I can't remember the last time I was this weight or size. So clothes, being able to fit between spaces, like at work, we walk between pallets and there are times I'd have to turn my body sideways and scooch between stuff. Now I can walk like straight through facing it. And nice. I'm like, this is so weird.
I love no that. More. Think skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I am skinny. Like it's being called skinny. That's another thing. Like at first I was waiting for people to laugh or joke, but they're like, oh, scoot over, you're skinny. And I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, no, I'm serious. I was like, oh. So yeah, that'd be one. And then the biggest one is just, we talked about it earlier, being able to just move my body. The first time that I ran and it didn't feel heavy to pick my legs up, because I used to have some thunder thighs. And so running, I was like, oh. And yeah. I'm running and I'm like, I feel light. Like I feel like a gazelle. I was like, man, this is what it's for. So mm-hmm. That was a big one for me. I'm trying to think. There was one other one that the reflection's always good. Like seeing reflection from, like, I'll look at the side and I'm almost standing there waiting for the rest of my reflection to grow out, but it stays like a stick. And I'm like, I'll stand there and look at it for a second.
That's a great way to put it, because I think that's what I would wait for too. I'd look in the mirror. I'm like, that's not me. Oh,
yeah.
Is it me? That is me.
Yep.
Yeah. You do like the dog. I'm like, that can't be. That doesn't make sense.
Yep. Yep.
And so I'm sure there's a lot more. I can't think of it now, but just life, the world treats you different. Like people look at me. It's hard. It's almost sad, but I'm so used to it that you don't realize how sad it is. But I made my workout friend cry. And I said, before, people look past me. Like nobody made eye contact, kind of looked around me. And it took months for me to accept people looking me dead in my eye and actually talking to me without me having to earn it.
Yeah.
Strangers, look at me and they hear what I say and they almost believe me right away. It's like having a physical appearance earned me social credit. Like it's so confusing walking through the world and people treating you way different than they did a year ago.
Correct. Yeah, because I feel like when we talk to people now, you don't have to defend your comment or your statement to people. Yeah. They like are taking you more at face value, all because we're smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it definitely. I think something's
wrong. I'm like, why are they looking at me? And it's like, oh, because you look good. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And it's just it doesn't equate.
It doesn't. So, like we were in Chicago with Meg, right? And in the Beatrice, I think that's what the place is called.
Beatrix,
right? Yeah, Beatrix. When we came back from the Cubs game, I ordered a cookie, and then the dude gave like one of the ladies a free item next to me. She was part of our group, and then gave me an extra free item. And I looked at him, and he's like, "You're beautiful, girl." I'm like, "Okay, so I just get free stuff, and people around me do, I guess."
It's funny because we can't even eat that much.
I know.
You know. It's weird.
It's just interesting. I was just like, okay. So like, this is how it's like now. This is interesting.
Yep. That's exactly how it is.
I remember when I first had surgery and I told you I had that horrible restriction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would eat one sushi roll out of a platter and I'd be like, oh, can I get a to-go box? And the manager every time would come out and be like, was everything okay? What's wrong? I'm like, oh no, I'm full. And they would not believe me. They would not accept that I ate one bite and I was happy. Mm-hmm. And so I end up having to tell every restaurant for the first like 3 months that, hey, I don't have a stomach or I just had surgery. And, you know, this is all I can eat. Trust me. I love the experience. If you know about it.
so I love it. You're reassuring them.
Yeah. I mean, they would literally, the waiter would come out and be like, you want a box? And then they would walk away and the manager would come. I'd be like, me and my husband joked about it today. Because we went out to breakfast and I was just like, oh, thank God she believed me when I say I want a box. And she didn't question it, manager. But it took, you know, 100 pounds for people to believe that I actually am full.
I still get it.
Yep, we still do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I will order a meal, eat about a third to a half of it and ask for a box. Or sometimes I'll just have a few bites and they'll be like, is everything okay? Was it good? And I'm like, oh, it was amazing. I'm just full. So, If I could get a box.
I've watched them literally tell you, be like, are you sure we can get you something else? Like, I'm not quite like, what's going on? And yeah, like, no, like she's full. She liked it. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what is one of your favorite things to eat?
I love seafood. I am a big, big seafood person. Okay. And so anything, crab cakes, Maryland style crab cakes or true Maryland crab cakes.
What's Maryland style?
So it's the way they bake them. They broil them instead of like deep frying them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Maryland crab, which tastes different from crab anywhere mm-hmm. else, like Maryland crab. So it's just a very distinctive taste mm-hmm. and it's huge like portion. So I can't eat a full one, but I'll tear half of one up.
I love it.
So Papado's is a big chain out here in Texas. I'm not sure if they're anywhere else, but they have them and they're true Maryland crabs. So yeah, anything seafood I can go for. But right now, like I still like food, mm-hmm. just not as much of it. And I've allowed myself to eat a ton more without fear, because I know I'm going to work it off and I know I'm going to eat to taste and not eat to gorge myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the eating experience. One thing I didn't mention is I don't meal prep because I'll meal prep and then eat all the food before it's time. So
okay,
I keep part of my checks and balances is I don't like to keep a lot of food in the house. Mm-hmm. So I eat out almost every meal, but I spend time researching what's on the menu. How can I eat the healthiest from outside sources? When I track my calories, I track the full portion, even though I don't eat the full portion. I end up throwing away, or my husband always eats my leftovers before I ask. So I kind of overestimate how much I eat to allow myself that grace period. And so it's worked out great for me. So for people that think you have to be perfect and have to meal prep and do all this stuff, it's great. But you don't. You can live a full, healthy life as just with some awareness of what you're putting into your body, how it affects your body. That's why I'm big on tracking mm-hmm. my weight and what I eat so that I at least have some awareness, mm-hmm. but it gives me freedom to do kind of whatever I want.
Nice.
I like that because it is all about awareness. Because now once we have the surgery, it's like you're awake, right? So it's like, don't ignore what you're actually receiving. And I'm big on tracking too, because I noticed when I stopped tracking, that's when I gained more weight. So it's all about like mm-hmm. being aware. And I'm just tracking protein again. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to make sure I get to at least 70, 80 grams a day. Because I noticed when we were starting to do challenges again, we suck at protein.
Yeah.
So we were like, fuck, we have to make up for this. And now I make sure at least I have a protein shake a day. I noticed that if I do that, then I at least hit all my goals. Mm-hmm. And I do feel better. So it's like, okay, they do go hand in hand, even when you're 8 years out. Just FYI.
They do.
Very important.
Definitely do.
I love it. Well, before we let you go, is there any tips, tricks, anything that you want to shout out to the guys about? Because mm-hmm. we know it's a different world, different ball game for them.
It is. I would say do not be shy. If you see.
That's a great stop.
Uh-oh. I don't know if he's coming back.
Did your work just go, no more?
Yeah, that's the end of that.
Guys, you don't get any tips or tricks.
No,
you're very sorry that D is
on. D is not on anymore.
I mean,
he is.
He is, but not at the same time.
Picture of that to send it.
We have to send this to him. People on YouTube is great. Get to see this face of D. He's going to hate us.
Love you, D. okay. Well, I think that we should just kind of end it there.
I was going to say, we can wrap up while he's
working.
We lost him. He's gone.
It's okay. He might pop back in, but we'll just end it here. Big thanks to D for hanging out with us for over an hour of giving his whole story and journey. It's incredible. And I love he had so many good points.
So many good points. Oh. I think he's coming back on. There he is.
All right, sorry. I sent y'all a message. Sorry. I was trying not to get up mid-podcast and grab my charger. I was like, I should have enough. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. Totally fine. We just kept talking.
Yeah, we just kept talking. All right.
So back to the tips and tricks real
quick. Tips and tricks
for men.
Oh, yeah. So for the guys, reach out. The biggest thing that I could say is a lot of guys suffer in silence for no reason at all. Like, everybody in this community has been so welcoming. There's not been a single guy that I reached out to through DMs that has not responded, been kind, been more than willing to help. And I was so surprised by things that I thought I was only suffering with that every last one of us are suffering with. And even if I'm not suffering through it right now, I remember what it was like when I was. And so we can relate back to those times and help you through it. And just being able to let it out, it's a big thing. So stop holding it all in, share. And, you know, quit being a bitch, like, share it. That's my biggest tip to the guys.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love that your tip of, like, you don't need meal prep. Mm-hmm. That's a huge one, because I don't like to meal prep. I think it's stupid. I'm sorry if you do and you love it, but I think it's dumb and I hate spending the time doing it. So I love that that is a tip that you don't have to meal prep. You just allot for that.
Yes. And guys, message each other.
Yes.
We know you guys need the help. We know you're suffering in silence.
Yes.
Because we talked to some of you and we can tell that you guys need to help each other as much as possible. That's why we try to bring in, as like, for the categories, we have guy categories, making them feel more involved. And we talk to a lot of men to bring on the podcast so that way you guys can hear you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Like, you worked with Rob Motivation for strength training. Mm-hmm. And like, he's part of the community, guys. And
yeah.
Look him up. Literally at Rob Motivation. Mm-hmm. He's a personal coach. The other Rob is as well, which is My Weight is History.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These two men have really dedicated their lives to helping other men in the community. Mm-hmm. So, and go reach out to D. Go reach out to the Robs.
Yeah.
They Dalton.
Dalton.
Jarps. Jarps. J-Arps. Sorry. J-Arps. Sorry, yep.
John with an H.
Yeah, John with an H, because I keep wanting to do J-O-N, and he's like, that's not how my name's spelled. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Yeah, just message each other. Get to know each other. Ask for help. It doesn't make you any less of a person to ask for help.
No.
Yeah. And we're easy to find. You can find all of us in each other's comments or under their pictures, cheering each other on. Like,
exactly.
We're all right there, because we can't show love to ourselves, but we can damn sure show it to each other. So we're good at each other up, and it's genuine love. Like, we just want to see each other win. And in person, when we meet up, it is nothing but love. Like, I personally hang out with Rob Motivation when I see him, and Rob, the other Rob. I hate seeing the other Rob.
Dad Rob.
Yeah. So all the Robs.
All the Robs.
Jason, I hang out with Chris, Bariatric Bro. Mm-hmm. I haven't got the chance to meet Chris, but it's just love. Every time we get together, it is so easy. It's nothing like the social interactions that we're used to. It's something special about when we meet.
It is.
Just so comfortable.
And I've gotten to work out with D, Rob, and Rob, and it was a lot of fun.
That gym was insane, right?
It was. I got my personal best first time on the elliptical, 10 minutes, 21 seconds. In freaking Philly, wild.
Yeah,
that was fucking wild. Oregon, I haven't hit that. Mm-hmm. And they're all telling me it's an elevation thing. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that does play a factor. Apparently.
It does.
It does.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Oh, yeah. One more thing. I swear. Okay. I'm like, I was like, how will we fill up an hour and a half? And now it's gone. I'm like, we need more time.
I know.
One thing, another tip is to learn to listen to your body. I was so shocked at how many signals my body had other than sleep and eat. Mm-hmm. After surgery, it's like it quieted all the noise. And now I can literally hear my body say, I want a banana because I've lifted. I need potassium.
Yeah.
Or I've started pouring salt in my water. And I was like, why am I doing this? It's because I needed electrolytes.
Yep.
But I had no idea. But my body literally said, take this salt and dump it. And it was a craving. Mm. And so almost like pregnant women, like this surgery will reconnect you with all of the signals in your body. So it's so awesome to actually hear your body for some of us for the first time. So
I know mine was the first time.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly when I'm hungry. I know when I need to sleep. I read my cues so much better now that, especially having my food noise quieted, like I can read my system so much better than I could before.
And I want to point that out to everybody that you do have food cues.
You do.
You do. Okay. And they're not just like, oh, my stomach's growling.
Yeah. No, there's so much more
like
to that.
You can literally be nauseous and be like, that's your cue to eat.
Yep.
Headache. And heartburns are actually cue to eat too, because if your acid is like churning and you need food.
Some heartburn.
For those that aren't already have like heartburn issues.
Yes.
I would preface that.
Yes. Headaches. Headaches can mean that you're thirsty. You need to eat. That it can mean several things.
Yep.
There are so many different social cues or body cues that you need to start reading.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after bariatric surgery. Yeah, exactly.
Crazy. Like when I'm full, I have the most horrible hiccups. I sound like a baby dinosaur.
Oh,
I
can't even
recreate the sound. It's embarrassing. It's like, it's horrible.
It's so bad. I kind of want you to overeat at the JBY show so I can hear it.
I will do it just for you because it is so bad.
If you guys want to meet Dee in person, literally go to jbyawards.com, get your tickets. He's doing the pink carpet interviews with Meg, and those will be live streamed. So that will be for everybody. He has the trophy right there with him, ready to go. Yep. So just know it's going to be a blast, guys.
It is going to be a blast. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for spending this time with us and explaining more about your journey. I'm just so lucky to call you a friend.
Yes. Same.
Thank you. I love you guys. You guys, thank you for being so awesome. Like from the day I met you guys, I was scared to come up to you and y'all turned around. I was like, hey, and it has been ever since.
I remember
guys,
that.
Yeah, it was
exactly
in Texas.
You are online as you are in person. Like it is. Yep. In Texas.
Yep. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Well, we love you. We love you too.
And you are the same as well.
Exactly. And just warm and welcoming. And that's all we could ask for. Yep. So, all right. Thank you so much for everybody watching. Make sure that you go over to oursleeplifepodcast.com, sign up for our newsletter. You do get a free ebook. So make sure to do that. And we love you guys. And we will see you next time. Bye. Hey, listeners, if you enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcasts. And don't forget to go over to patreon.com/OSLP for all your support needs.
That's right. And we even have our own website. So go over to oursleeplifepodcast.com, sign up for our newsletter, get that free ebook, and then don't forget to get your merch. And also, we're on YouTube, guys. So type in our name, hit that bell, and hit subscribe, and you're going to see our lovely faces every single Tuesday. So thank you for listening to Our Sleep Life Podcast, where we are breaking that stigma one episode at a time.